All right, what a great opportunity it is to be with our church family and be able to preach. Thank God for the opportunities of every, I was going to say as I typically do, young preacher boy, but I'm turning 40 this year. It is no more being young, amen. Old preacher boy, whatever you want to say, but it's been a lifelong dream of mine to be able to serve the Lord more specifically as somebody that preaches the gospel. Let me say something. A preacher of the gospel is no title that I take as a high and mighty title. It is a servant title, amen. It's an opportunity to study the word of God and let God work first in my heart. And then, Lord willing, God can use that to be a blessing to you. Thank you, Brother Bichardo, for reading for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And as you can see, the theme of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and the verse that we read in Psalms 19:14 deals with living a life that is pleasing to God. And by the way, that ought to be our desire, amen. Living a life that is pleasing to God. Now, each and every one of us have a built-in, God-given desire to please somebody. For example, if we are married, hopefully it is within our desire to please our spouse. Hopefully, for the husbands that are in this room, it is within our desire to do things, to live in such a way, to lead in such a way that we can please our wives, and the same for the wives. And by the way, that adds a thrill in marriage. That keeps the love and the fire going. If we are parents, undoubtedly, it should be our desire to please our children. Now, there may be some old school parents out there that might stomp their foot on the ground and say, what? Please my kids? They better make sure that they please me, especially if they want me to continue to pay that life insurance policy, amen? By the way, parents ought to be paying for that. Mom, you listening? They ought to be paying for that, not me. Just kidding, right? I'm glad to pay for it. Of course, we want her to live forever, amen? That's one thing I don't want to cash on. But anyways, as a parent, we want to please our children. Listen, as I look at my five children and we spend family time together, and I've mentioned it behind the pulpit here, one goal that I have with my family is to read the Bible through collectively as a family. I only missed one day, but we made up for it because my sister and myself and my nephew went out for dinner, amen? And they're like, Dad, you missed out on this family time. We made up for it. But one of the reasons why I try to spend spiritual time with them, and one of the reasons why I take them to the park, and one of the reasons why if I fail them, I'm quick to apologize, hopefully, amen, is because I want to please them. I want them to be proud that I'm their dad. One of the reasons why I work hard in ministry, at least I try to with all my heart, is because I want them to know that their dad is somebody that they can follow. I want to please my children. I imagine all of us want to please our parents, and I don't really come from a family, and don't take this as a knock against my family, but I don't come from a lovey-dovey family, and maybe my sisters experience it more than I do, but my parents weren't necessarily the type to just go up to you and say, I love you, okay, good job. I mean, I remember I had my dad go to one basketball game of mine. The game before in Lancaster, I scored 30-something points. It was a really cool game. The next game, I scored 11 points, and he came up to me and goes, you invited me to see this? That's all that you can do. It was at the First Baptist Gym. I go, Dad, you need to talk to Brother Esposito. I was really good in Lancaster, the six, whatever two, whatever area code that is over there. But in Long Beach, for some reason, I couldn't do it. And that's the kind of family I grew up in. And it's not, they're not bad people, but that's what I grew up with. But I remember the first time I preached with my mom in attendance. It was weird. It was weird. That's the best way I can put it. When we came home from church, she kind of was quiet. My wife was kind of walking around a little bit, and she just goes, hey, hey, Mom, come here, I'm proud of you. Okay, it was like a little shoulder bumping, man. But let me tell you something, within my heart, I was jumping for joy. You know why? Because in a sense, I pleased my mom. I pleased my mom. For the longest time, she kept on telling me the ministry was not a good choice. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but that is true, okay? She kept on telling me, you're not going to be able to support your family. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. But now, thank God, through faithfulness, by His grace, I'm able to please her. That is a desire within all of our hearts as children. I imagine that we all want to please our peers. We want to please those that are in authority over us. We all have a list of people in our lives that we want to live to please. Here's the question tonight. Does God make that list? Does God make that list for you? Teenagers, does God make that list for you? Adults, does God make that list for you? Little children, does God make that list for you? Is it within the core of your desires to please Him with your life? We saw in the text tonight that God's people were challenged to live lives that were pleasing to Him. Paul was giving counsel to the young believers in Thessalonica in how they should live their lives to please God. And by the way, let me say this. He was pretty direct. He was pretty specific. And we'll get into that in a little bit here. But just a commercial break, never be offended when pastor or any preacher that comes across this pulpit and preaches direct messages that'll lead us and encourage us to make specific changes in our lives to be more conformed to the image of Christ. Save the being offended stuff for something else. Never get offended with the word of God. It's supposed to help us. It's for our good. It is a good note that most of the Thessalonians was written around the topic of Christ's second coming. Many of the believers were expecting Jesus Christ to come at any imminent moment. By the way, while it is an amazing thought to be raptured up in the air with our Lord, amen, to see him one day, let us never forget the grave importance that we should be placing in our lives of planting ourselves firmly in God's will in such a way, serving in such a way, loving in such a way, living in such a way that we are pleasing to him. More important than pleasing our spouses, even though that's important. More important than pleasing our children, our parents, or even our peers. Let's strive to please the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Let me say this. I don't understand. Sometimes God has chosen to pit parents and against our love for parents against our love for him. And really, it's not because he doesn't want us to love our parents or to love our family. He just wants us to understand that the love we have for God ought to surpass any other love that we have. That ought to be true in our lives. But sometimes we get caught up in being man pleasers, right? We get caught up in making sure that everybody around us, those that we can see physically with our eyes, those that we interact with on a daily basis, we get caught up in pleasing them more than pleasing the Lord. Listen, I love my family, I love my wife, I love my children, but if ever there's a situation where I have to choose God or them, it's an easy choice. It's God every single time. Leonard Ravenhill said, if we displease God, does it matter whom we please? If we displease God, does it really matter whom we displease? And if we please him, does it matter who we displease? And by the way, as long as we please God, that should be the only thing that matters to us. As with any goal in life, for us to reach the goal of living to please God with our lives, it must start with desire. Listen, behind me here, we have this amazing theme. And by the way, that graphic job is amazing there, okay? It took me a long time to delegate that to Brother Nick, all right? Anyhow, growth is a wonderful thing. We all understand that growth is something that we ought to have to be part of a Christian life. Nobody disagrees on that. But in order for that growth to participate or to be in our lives, we must have that first word, desire. Desire. See, growth is something we all recognize as vital in the Christian life, but unless you and I desire to have that growth in our lives, we won't have it. We won't have it. Desire is simply defined in the dictionary as a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen in our lives. Here's the question. Do we strongly desire to have that feeling that drives us to please God with our lives? Is this something that we clearly hope with all of our heart to see accomplished by the decisions that we make, by the direction that we set? By the way, very important word, the direction that we set, and then the diligence that we apply. Don't forget, it takes work. The diligence that we apply for God's glory. How about it this evening? Simply put, do we desire to live a life that is pleasing to God? I'm afraid one of the biggest problems that occur in churches, in families, in the lives of individual Christians. It's not a shortage for supply. It's not a shortage of resources. It's not the fact that we don't have a Bible. It's the fact that we don't desire to please God. Unfortunately, some Christians have gone so cold that they just don't care. Perhaps we have noticed this same I don't care attitude in the people that we love. And by the way, when you see somebody experience that I don't care mentality, It's pretty scary. It's pretty sad. Sadly, in, for example, the school ministry that I'm a part of every single day of my life, there's sometimes I see students that just don't care about their grades. You know, I ask them sometimes, hey, aren't you scared you're going to get kicked out of school? I don't care. Okay. Hey, do you want to make up your work? I don't care, Brother Jim. No disrespect. I don't care. Hey, do you know you're disappointing your mom and your dad? Many of our teachers have heard this sometimes, sadly. I don't care. And by the way, when I hear something like that as a father, as a Christian, as a principal, it breaks my heart because I understand that once you allow your mind and your heart to be set on that mentality as something that is normal and acceptable to you, you are in trouble. This I don't care mentality will destroy us. Perhaps it's a spouse that for one reason or the other, they have lost total interest in working on their marriage. And by the way, let me say this. I've been married for 10 years, coming on 11 years. It's going to take some work for us to be happy for the next 10 years, amen? It's going to take some effort for us to be happy for the next 20 years. I understand that. I never want to get to the place where I stop caring about pleasing my dear wife, and I hope the same for her. Maybe it's a parent that has spiritually given up on leading their home toward godliness because they just aren't willing to put the time in, or they just aren't willing to give up the things necessary to give up in their lives to lead their children spiritually. By the way, that's a big one. Some hobbies, some entertainments, and I'll talk about that a little later, we're just too attached at the expense of having a godly home. And that's a sad situation. How about us this evening? Do we have that sorrow and that shame when we are distant from God? Do we care at all when perhaps our spiritual life is anemic? It's anemic at best. The other day, I was taking a drive. I was delivering food to somebody. I'm not doing DoorDash or anything. I mean, wouldn't get paid for it. And I just took it as an opportunity to have a little quiet time with the Lord. And to be honest with you, it wasn't so quiet because I started thinking about a lot of the things that I felt like I was failing at. Things in my life. Yes, the preacher for tonight, okay? Things that I felt in my life I could have done better as a dad. I could be doing better as a husband. I could be clearly doing better as a ministry leader. You may be volunteering some information to me later on today. I've got that down 50 times over. Listen, I understand who I am, and I understand where I fall short. But the biggest thing that I want with my life, Lord, I said, I just want to please you. I just want to please you. And that ought to be our desire. Sadly, Christianity for many has become nothing more than just an activity report. We check in when we need to. We check off all the boxes to give the appearance that we are fulfilling our obligations as a Christian. By the way, isn't that what we do sometimes as parents? Hey, I got food on the table. Check, right, for you. What are you complaining about? You got your iPad. You got your video games. Check. Some of you got your cell phones. We heard about what Pastor thinks about that this morning, amen. Check. Hey, you got your little toys. Check. You got some money in your bank account. Check. Hey, I'm a pretty good dad. There may not be any time I spend with you spiritually. I may not be reading the Bible with you. I may not be teaching you character traits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may not be helping you to learn to be a better soul winner. I may not be teaching you to have a prayer list so you could talk to God more. But hey, check, 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 check. We're doing all this checking, but we're not checking their lives spiritually. And we're failing. We're failing. We check all these boxes to give the appearance, but deep down inside we are dry. There isn't anything fueling our drive to please the Lord. And we are running on empty. By the way, I've been there before. I remember one time I was taking a preacher out to eat. Ran out of gas. That's not good. Okay. We're going to Cerritos, and I saw that thing. I said, I know what this can get me. At least 15 miles. At least 15 miles. I'm not trying to take a pastor to the gas station, amen. Bless God. 15 miles. We got this, man. Cerritos ain't 15 miles away, but that Honda lied to me. It lied to me. You know what happens? Not that you have experienced this. You press on the gas. Whoa, hey, what's going on over here? No, Lord, please, not right now. Please, Lord, I'll pay double for gas. Just get me. He had to help me push the thing. I had to call Brother Beck and Grandpa Beck. They came over. Man, we went to go fill up. That man probably told Pastor, never again do I want to be with Brother Chim, amen. I thought it was a good time of fellowship, amen. Good lessons learned. But we're running dry. There isn't anything fueling us anymore. Let me say this, God wants more than that. He doesn't want dry Christianity. If you're in this room this morning, he wants more than just obligation Christianity. He wants to fuel your drive to please him. He wants that. Our spiritual dryness is never by accident. Keep that in mind. Something was neglected. Something was not prioritized. Something happened, or possibly someone happened. Let's be honest. Influencer is a very powerful word right now. There are a bunch of food vloggers that influence me to eat food all the time, amen, on YouTube. And I love to go to them for my food devotion, right? But let's be very careful. Don't allow anybody to influence you away from what you felt at one point God wanted you to do. Listen, there's a group of people that I can hang out with, and before you know it, I'll look at my wife differently, look at my children differently. Instead of them being something that I can live for, I'm gonna look at them as a weight, as something that's in my way. I'm gonna look at the tithe and the missions and the building program. I'm gonna look at everything that I do here as an inconvenience in my life, and before you know it, that someone will steer me away from God's will. Maybe someone happened. I'd like to share three truths from this passage and some others that will help us to please the Lord more with our lives. And I really hope that that's our desire. Number one, we see the call to pleasing God. Look at verse number one. The call to pleasing God. Furthermore, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, furthermore, then we beseech you, beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Paul recognized the fundamental prerequisite of our lives, abounding more and more, living that prosperous life that God wants for each and every one of us, is found only living a life that is pleasing to him. Hey, you want that abundant Christian life? It isn't about how much money you put in the offering plate. You want that abounding more and more life? It isn't about how many times you come to church. It is about having that prerequisite of setting that direction in your life to please God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When considering such an important call, such as the call to please the Lord, let's evaluate our lives with just a few basic yet revealing questions. First and foremost, we're at the start of the year here. How much time do we spend in the Bible? Very simple. You say, Brother Chim, I hear this every now and then. Listen, I'm busy. There's so much I have to do. There's so many YouTube videos. There's so many Instagram clicks that I have to make. You just don't understand how hard it is for me. I have to at least like 55 pictures, okay? I've got to. You don't understand. And I get it. We're so busy that we schedule God right out of our lives. The question still stands. How much time do we spend in the Bible? What does the Bible say? If you love me, keep my commandments. But how are we to know what those commandments are if we don't read? How are we to know? It's kind of neat. We're reading through the Bible together. And by the way, it's not as daunting of a task as it is if you think about it. I think on average, we spend about 30 minutes a night. And funny, before that, I told my wife, I just don't know how we can, we just don't have enough time to spend together. But when you schedule it, it's amazing what you can get done. And even though some of them take like 20 minutes to read two verses, okay? It's special to see them recognize stories. You know, I have a habit of stopping and explaining something, and sometimes my children say, Dad, we kind of know what that is. Can we finish the chapter? Okay. But it's special to be able to have that foundation with our kids, especially with the Bible. What we do with the Bible, someone once said, determines what God does with us. Another question for us to ask ourselves, how much time do we spend in prayer? Is prayer something that we only go through the motions with? Listen, if all that we do is pray for our meals and pray for a good morning and pray for a good night and then peck our children on the cheek or on the forehead afterwards, that's not enough. You got to have a serious relationship with God, a verbal relationship with God. As I mentioned the other day, when I was in the car, it was supposed to be a quiet time, but I couldn't help but speak out to God because I wanted him to know, Lord, I'm not playing around here as a Christian. I'm getting ready to go to another decade of my life. I've got another milestone to accomplish. My kids are getting ready to go to junior high and then high school. I want to make sure that I am what they need me to be. I don't want to miss a step. I don't want to look back and have to figure out who to blame because my children didn't turn out right. I want to figure it out right now, Lord. I want your power. I want your grace upon my life. Right now, God, show me. You got to spend that time in prayer with God. How much do we enjoy Bible preaching and teaching? There is such a strong pull from everything around us for our attention, let's be honest. There's billboards, there's ads, and all these things that are getting us to just consume it with our minds and with our hearts. I believe listening to Bible preaching pleases God so much because he gets to have our undivided attention, right? He gets to have our attention for 30, 40 minutes, whatever the case may be. I'm thankful for ministry opportunities. I'm thankful for all aspects of the church services. I especially love singing. And by the way, I encourage you during the singing time, it's not time to check your phones. It's not time to just stare off into the abyss, okay, wherever that may be. Grab a songbook. Let's get behind it. I believe the atmosphere that we choose to set at Pacific Baptist Church is one that we can offer to God as a sacrifice. When he looks down from heaven and he sees all types of churches, he sees the churches that we're good at criticizing, right? The ones with the blue lights and the ones with the purple lights, whatever the case may be. And then he looks at our type of church, and I would hope to think that he sees us singing with our heart. And I appreciate the singing, as I mentioned, but the time that I look forward to the most is the preaching time. Because it is during that preaching time I get convicted. And by the way, let me say this. It's okay to be convicted. It's okay to hear something from the Word of God that's going to pierce you a little bit. Maybe you're going to be reminded that you're swaying a little bit. Maybe you're going to be reminded that you put your guard down a little bit. But it's okay. That's an opportunity for us to get right. It's an opportunity for us to conform to God. I need preaching in my life. I need direct preaching. And I'm thankful that we get it at our church. We must realize the sole purpose of our creation was a call to bring honor and glory to God. God knows that we are happiest and most fulfilled when we live according to his plan. And by the way, God knows that. And by the way, we know that for our children, right? Hey, if you live right, you do what's right, you're going to have less heartaches, maybe because of the heartaches that we have experienced as a result of not living right. But we understand that, and God understands the same for us. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him." And what's the next three words? "And for him." Let it not be a mistake that the reason why you are in existence this very evening is not so you can have your career. It's not so I can lead a school. It's not so I can be a dad. It's not so I can enjoy entertainment or food and those types of things. The reason why I was created for such a time as this is so I can glorify God, and everything that I do needs to revolve around that, and everything that I do needs to bring honor and glory to God. And if it doesn't, I got to change what I do. I got to cut it out of my life. If it's keeping me from going to church and listening to preaching, which honors God, I got to cut it out of my life. If it's causing me to have thoughts in my mind that are going to contradict the thoughts that I should be having according to the Word of God, I've got to cut those things out of my mind because I'm created for him. That's why I'm created. Let's never forget that. You belong to God. You were created by God. You are sustained by God. You are kept by God. And so am I. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God," no matter what career you have chosen. And by the way, I've heard people say, and this is not a knock against anybody that is not in ministry, and we have amazing laymen in our church, and to be honest with you, I don't even like to use that word because it makes it seem like I'm separating people. We got faithful church members. But let me say this, never let it be an excuse for you if you work 60, 70, 80 hours that you can't serve God. That's the career you have chosen. That's the career you have chosen. Well, I can't go soul winning. Figure it out. I'm not pastor, okay? I'm just the visiting guy here. Figure it out. Because that's what we were designed to do, to honor God. Well, I don't have enough energy by the time I'm done with work, Brother Charlie. I don't even have enough time for my family, let alone read the Bible or spend time in prayer. Then maybe, perhaps, there's some changes that we ought to make in our life because we were created for him. "Wherefore, therefore, ye eat or drink," read it with me, "or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's what the Bible says. God deserves glory. God demands his glory. No matter what background you have, no matter what talent you have or talent you do not have, pleasing God is not a command for a select few. It's a call to everybody. It's a call to everybody. Letter C, the greatest commandment in the Bible is, in essence, a call to live a pleasing life to the Lord. What is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, please turn there. Matthew 22, we're going to look at two verses here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 38, I'll read for sake of time. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." You say, what does God want with my life? What does God expect from me as my creator, as my savior, as my heavenly father? He expects for me to respond to the call to live a pleasing life to him. That's what he wants. Total commitment. Say, Brother Charlie, You think God will be happy if I just kind of gave him 25% of my life? Not according to the Word of God. You think God will be happy if I kind of scaled back my Bible reading time and my church attendance time and my ministry time to pursue some of these career opportunities? Listen, you have to answer to God for the decisions that you make, but according to the verse that I just read, God wants it all. God wants it all. And every decision that we make, we need to first compare and filter it through the understanding that God has called us to live a life that is pleasing to him. And it's a great calling. It's a great commandment. Number two, not only do we see the call to pleasing God, we see the conditions to pleasing God. Look at 1 Thessalonians again, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to just look at a couple of verses, but you'll see this from verses 2 to 8. Look at verse number 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, which is a sexual sin. And let me say this, man, sexual sins are running rampant right now. Not just right now, but it's sad. I see it so much amongst young people. And I can say that. I'm the principal of a school. And by the way, let me make it more specific. I'm the principal of your children. And whether they could be a better man for the job or not, let me say something that I have seen that has really appalled me. Is some of the boundaries and the protection that we used to put up to protect our kids have been torn down, all in the name of entertainment and all in the name of laziness and not being willing to be the parents that we ought to be. And I'll say it again. The conversations that I'm having with some of these kids, the jokes that they're making, and by the way, not just, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I would dare say that a lot of times we're bringing this junk into our homes in the form of entertainment, and we expect our kids to discern the holy and the profane and the clean from the unclean. How about you keep that junk out of the house, amen? And maybe that'll help them. They gravitate to that. These YouTube videos and TikTok videos, man, every other one deals with something sexual. Someone tell me I'm wrong, please. Because sexuality, unfortunately, sells. And Pastor alluded to this morning, pornography is at the tip of the fingers on cell phones. And our kids are getting wrapped up into that. And they're being disguised as anime and this and that. And we don't spend enough time as parents to guard our children's heart. You better understand this and understand this, please, with all your heart, that once your child's heart is polluted, especially when it deals with a sexual sin and pornography and fornication, it's very hard for it to be restored. Very hard. It affects your soul. That wasn't even my point. Sanctification means to be set apart for special use or purpose. Sanctification refers to the state or process of becoming more like Christ, and that ought to be our goal. This includes staying away from anything unclean. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And by the way, that's practical for God to expect that from us. He's God. Listen, I'm glad if you want to die for Christ, he just wants you to live for him. Live for him. Live holy for him. Living holy means to be spiritually minded in word and in deed. You guys are listening phenomenal. Please turn to Romans chapter number 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here, verses 5 through 8. See, I don't appreciate you using those words in church. Well, let's shut YouTube off, amen? Those words are everywhere. Sadly, it's not a week that goes by, perhaps, that I'm learning new words amongst Christians. Let's guard ourselves. Romans chapter number 8, verses 5 to 8, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Here's the key verse. So then they that are in the flesh cannot, what are those last two words? Please God. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You want to live a life pleasing to God? Abstain from everything that is unclean. There will always be a battle between the two mindsets, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. You say, who's going to win? The one you feed the most, right? If I'm constantly feeding my flesh by spending most of my time looking at things that are catering to my flesh, I'm building it up. I'm exercising. I'm taking it to the spiritual gym of carnality, and I'm doing bench pressing, okay? I'm doing ab crunches, which I probably need to do more of, amen? I'm running on that treadmill. But if I feed myself spiritually by reading the Word of God and trying to diligently and intentionally set up spiritual times within my schedule so I can feed on spiritual things, I'm taking my body and my life into the spiritual gym of holiness to build that up. And depending on who I work out and feed more, that will determine who wins. You say, Brother Chad, I'm so weak. You know, some guys will tell you, and by the way, I've always... You know, Pastor Esposito and Pastor Myers will mention it. And at first, I was a little uneasy because, you know, I was like, man, you know, sometimes they'll mention, man, everybody, all guys are affected by it. And in my mind, I'm like, well, that's true, but not all guys are affected the same. You know, yes, we will be affected if we look at an image or a billboard that's not right. But, man, there's just some people, they don't take much. Their imagination is so polluted that they can come up with a wicked thought. And it's not hard. It's not hard. Let's guard our minds. Let's guard our heart. The Bible says in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is what? Is weak. Living in the flesh and producing the fruits of the flesh limits us from pleasing our God. Therefore, it is important for us to consider why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe, especially within the borders of our home. Whatever standards of holiness you decide to set up in your families, let us first compare it to the call that we have to please God. And by the way, every standard or whatever, some people don't like that word, that's fine, okay? I wish I could think of a better word for you, okay? Standard, a policy, whatever. Whatever you decide to have, this is what we believe. That preacher, he's just a little overboard, and that's fine. But whatever you decide to have, skirt length, this and movies, rated PGs, okay, rated R, whatever it is that you decide, compare it to the call that you have to please God. And by the way, if you come to the conclusion that God is fine with a little nudity, stand before God. If you come to the conclusion that it's fine to watch images of people that are gyrating their bodies and moving the worldly music that's affecting your body, you take that up with God. But first, compare everything that you do. See, the problem is, and not that we're comparing it to our call to please Him, is that we're comparing it to nothing at all. We're comparing it to what we want in our lives. Do we truly feel that we have concluded to be okay for our dress standards to be pleasing to God? Or is God not even a thought at all? Do we truly feel that what we have concluded to be okay in the direction we are raising or influencing our children for the Lord, is that pleasing to God? See, Brother Jim, are you going to make your kids go into full-time ministry? I hope my kids desire it. I'm not going to sit there and make them wear t-shirts and, you know, tell them every single day you're doing this, you're doing that. What I'm training them to do is to love God. What I'm training them to do is to love the Bible. What I'm training them to do is to love their parents. What I'm training them to do is to be kind to others. And I'm hoping that in the purity and the innocence of all that I'm trying to do, that God will find favor in them, that God will allow them to have a heart to please Him, and Lord willing, be in full-time ministry so I don't have to force them to do something like that. But that's what I'm praying for. I want my kids to be successful. I want them to be taken care of. But let me say this, parents. Please be careful how you're routing your children. If you're putting success and being able to have finances and be, as the priority, oh yeah, you want to love God. Oh yeah, yeah, let me just throw that plug in there. But everything is painted as the American dream instead of God's dream. Not a very good whistler. How much are you pleasing the Lord? You say, what is God all about? Well, what is God's mission statement? What is God's mission statement? God's mission statement is pretty simple. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not to build empires, not to build homes, not to build wealth, to seek and to save that which is lost. So how can I, as a parent, route my children away from something like that, especially if they desire it. Let's be careful. Next, we got to move along very quickly here. Brother Joseph and Brother Ross and Brother Pichardo, they preach very short messages, all right? I got to work here. Next, do we truly feel what we have concluded to be okay for entertainment pleasing to God? Or is God even a thought? If we're inviting entertainment into our lives in the form of movies, shows, or dramas that promote godlessness or works of the flesh, profanity, immorality, lust, lying, immodesty, cursing, then we aren't putting ourselves in a situation to please God. By the way, if you want your girls and your boys to be girl crazy and boy crazy, give them soap operas, amen? Give it to them. That's what you want. The same as I would say, if you want your children to love God more, give them documentaries and give them biographies of famous people that did something for the Lord. Whatever it is you have as a goal for your children, guide them with that. And if it's not to be boy crazy, if it's not to constantly think of how they're going to say hi to that girl and how they're going to pass this note and how they're going to do this and how they're going to come up with it, then avoid having those things in your home. Next, loving one another pleases God. We won't take time to read that. That's verses 9 to 10. This is clearly found in the second greatest commandment in the Bible. Love thy neighbor as thyself, the Bible teaches us. How do we love others? We love others through ministry. That, you know, whenever you have that call, Miss Mary, whoever comes in here looking for the nursery workers, I love it sometimes. Hey, you need something, Miss Mary? Where's your wife? Oh, she's right over here. Sorry. Honey, get over there real quick, all right? And that's only happened a few times last week. That's okay. But hey, listen, that's an opportunity for you to love some of these kids, amen, that can produce some pretty serious stuff, all right? If there's a call to have a bus worker, if there's a call for a Sunday school teacher, that's your opportunity to fulfill the second greatest commandment, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself, right? We love others through soul winning. We talked about that being God's great commission, God's mission statement, purpose of him coming. We love others through avoiding strife with one another, amen? Come on now. This involves us keeping our own backyard clean. Man, one of the funniest things I see with COVID is every single time someone has it, someone wants to find someone to blame, right? Who gave it to you? Who were you around? Could they smell? I was like, oh, my soul, man. I feel like it's so crazy, right? It's just like, oh, are you sick? You have COVID? What do you hear? I mean, listen, folks, keep your own backyard clean. If someone can't smell, maybe they have a stuffy nose. Maybe they have COVID, okay? Keep your own backyard clean. Stop gossiping. Stop tearing one another down. Letter C, having faith pleases God. Having faith pleases God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, we learn through this verse that in order for us to even make it possible to please the Lord, we've got to have situations in our life where we exercise faith. But how often do we resent those times where we have to exercise faith? We want to see everything. We want to feel everything. We want to understand everything. Listen, I don't mind jumping to my dad if he's 4 foot away, if there's like a big jumper on the bottom that's going to keep me safe, okay? I don't mind living for the Lord as long as the package is right. I don't mind living for God full time as long as the pastor can guarantee that I'm going to have some type of budget to buy myself a home. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many times I asked for a raise behind this pulpit? And you guys think it's jokingly. It's serious. Hasn't happened. So I just call it a joke so I don't feel so bad. I'm just joking, okay? But we are taking a love offering afterwards, just joking. By the way, these very circumstances that we often get uncomfortable with, what is my son going to do? What is my daughter going to do? What are they going to do? Who are they going to marry? A preacher, what's going to happen to them? These are the very circumstances that perhaps God is setting in place so that Hebrews 11 can be fulfilled in your life. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Embrace them. Embrace them. By the way, when I got into the ministry, I don't know why I say this about myself, I was 135 pounds. I'm 170 pounds right now, folks. And I don't have heavy shoes on right now. Okay? Brother Vong found an old picture of me. That was like a third of who I was. I don't know what happened there. I could eat that guy easily. God's taking care of us, the credit card too, amen. Next, fearing God pleases him. Psalms 147:11, we're almost done. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. Fear God because of his rightful position in our lives. Listen, I've heard of this in so many different ways. One person will say, you better fear God because he can wipe you out on the face of this earth. Someone else said, no, that's not what it means with the fear of God. It's basically a reference of respect, like a father and a son. I believe it's both. I fear God like a heavenly father. I also fear him, yes, out of reverence and respect, but I'm fearful that if I cross him, that he can wipe me off the face of this earth. He is a creator, so respect him. He is a savior, so recognize his amazing power, especially over sin and death. He is our heavenly father, so reverence him. When we truly understand God's nature, we can't help but to fear him. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, God is gracious, but he is also just and will judge your sin and my sin accordingly. Don't mess around with God. God's wrath is nothing we want to be on the wrong end of. Next, obedience pleases God. Obedience pleases God. I'm going to run through these quickly. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. What is it that you know that God wants you to do? It could be something as simple as reading the Bible. It could be something as simple as coming to church more often. It could be something as simple as joining a ministry and serving in that way that you haven't been obeying in. Obedience pleases God. Lastly here, praise and gratitude please God. Praise and gratitude please God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, very quick. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, what sacrifice? The sacrifice of praise. God is well pleased. Do you have it scheduled in your day? Is it a part of your life to thank God for who he is? And to thank God for what he's done. And to thank God for everything that he will do. And then number three, we're done. The compensation of pleasing God. I'm just going to read these. We normally get done in 4 minutes, and I want to make that happen. The compensation of pleasing God. Thank God that there is tremendous blessing in living a life pleasing to him. Amen. It isn't just a challenge that the pastor or the preacher comes up and yells about and makes a couple of people uncomfortable or even hate him. But there's some compensation that is involved with pleasing God. 1 John 3:22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. So let me get this right. If I live a life that is pleasing to God, if I try my best to be holy, because the Bible tells us in Peter, be holy for I am holy. Okay, I get all that. If I keep his commandments because I love him, which the Bible admonishes me to do, you're telling me that I can live that way, ask God for things, and receive it of him? Well, that's what the Word of God says. If I keep his commandments, he's going to give it to me because I do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Each one of us in this room, from the young to the old, to the married, to the adults, the elders in the church included, we all have access to more answers to prayer, more blessings, more joy, but we must live a life that is pleasing to God. Letter B, thank God there is tremendous peace in living a life pleasing to God. Proverbs 16:7, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, one of the reasons why there's so much strife amongst brethren, and sadly, brethren in churches, and hopefully it isn't true in our church, is because there's too much pride and not enough selflessness. Not enough selflessness. The greatest example of selflessness is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that he cared about was living to please God. That was it. How is our peace? If there's someone that God has brought to our mind that we need to truly get things right with, not just on the surface, and we're good at that, right? But in the heart, in our minds. Could it be a parent that we have not forgiven? Could it be a spouse that we have neglected and we find it awkward to get restored? Could it be a brother or sister in Christ, perhaps in this very auditorium? Do we want that peace? Do you want that joy? Do you want those blessings? Put your pride aside. Put your strife aside and live to please the Lord. Sadly, in Christianity, I'm closing, we have worked very hard at living the Christian life without truly pleasing God as he desires.
as he calls us to do. We use our titles, and I have titles, to justify ourselves that we are pleasing him. We use our ministry involvement to convince ourselves we are pleasing to him. We use our giving to convince ourselves that we are pleasing to him. But none of these things are wrong, and most of them are necessary in order for us to please the Lord with our lives. However, pleasing God isn't necessarily the presence of these things in our life, but it also includes the absence of some of the unfortunate things we have allowed in our lives. How about it tonight? There's some things that we got cut out? Are there some things that we got to cut out of our homes? Are there some things that we have to cut out of our schedule? Are there some things that we have to change our mind about if we are to please God? And by the way, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Let's all stand, please. By the way, the altar is open. The call to please God, it's clear in the Bible. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to him. And it's a decision that we make individually. We could do it as a family, but God wants to see it individually. God wants to see your heart. He wants to see you respond. Does it matter? Is it nothing to you? Does it matter? How sweet the sight when a Christian humbles himself and comes to the altar and says, God, it's not necessary that I'm not living for you. I could just be doing more of it. And that's what it's all about. That's why I love church. That's why I love God's people. That's why I love the Bible. You put those three together, you get some commitments, some decisions that will last a lifetime. I hope that there's something that we can leave at the altar. That there's something that we can clear up with the Lord. We can let him know, I want to please you. I want to please you. Perhaps there's somebody in this auditorium that is not saved. The altar is open for you as well. You say if you were to die right now, you do not know 100% for sure that you'd be on your way to heaven. Let me say this. You want to please God, get saved. He wants to see you in heaven. He doesn't want you in hell. If you are that person this evening and you do not know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, you want someone to show you, please raise your hand. We have people that are glad to share the gospel with you. Is there anybody at all? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being who you are. Thank you so much, Lord, for showing us that you desire for us to live a life that is pleasing to you. You aren't some God that wants to be distant from us. You want to be close to us. And I really do pray, Lord, that the decision that was made tonight that will be continued to be made by each and every one of us will be a decision to please you more in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Grandy.